Hello and welcome back. My name is Rabbi Avi Heller, and together we're learning Masechet Moed Katan. We find ourselves at the very bottom of Daf Yud Chet Amud Bet. That's 18b, and we're three lines up from the bottom at the Mishnah. This series of recordings is a joint project of OU Torah, the OU Department of Synagogue Services, and the Daf HaShavua Foundation. What we've been discussing is the prohibition of writing on Chol HaMoed. Generally speaking, writing official documents, for sure, is considered to be a tircha, and it's considered to be a malacha because it's a masei uman, it's an act of a skilled person. And unless it's absolutely necessary for the needs of the public and or for the needs of the festival, it is not supposed to be done. So our Mishnah continues in describing things that should not be written. And the previous Mishnah really talked about things that could be written, and here we're specifying things that should not be written on Chol HaMoed. Three lines up from the bottom, matnitin. Ein kotvin shtari chov b'moed. We should not write documents of debt on Chol HaMoed. That is, if someone is doing a loan, someone borrows $100 from someone else, so that loan doesn't necessarily require a document, and if the loan is happening on Chol HaMoed, the document should not be written. However, because the document can always be written afterwards, it doesn't have to be written on Chol HaMoed, and since it doesn't have to be written on Chol HaMoed, it can be postponed. Ve'im, however, if eino ma'amino, if the lender is uncomfortable and he doesn't trust the borrower, o she'ein lo ma'yochal, or the scribe is poor and he has nothing to eat, hari ze yichtov, then you can write it. So these are two different reasons. One is if the lender doesn't want to lend the money for this person, then they're not going to be able to get the loan. If they're not going to be able to get the loan, so then we say that he should be able to write it. This is assuming that the reason the person needs the loan is either because they need the money on Yom Tov, and that is it's Litzorach HaMoed, or they need it immediately after Yom Tov, and this is their opportunity to get it. So in that case, the loan itself is required because it's for the sake of the Moed. So we want the loan to happen, and if the only way the loan can happen is to write the Shtar, then we'll write the Shtar. Or it could be in a situation, the loan can happen anyway, but if the scribe is in a position where he doesn't have any money or food, and he can get paid for his services to write up the document, then he's allowed to do it because from the scribe's perspective, he's allowed to do that work. Okay, our second topic in this Mishnah is Ein Kotvin Sfarim, Tfilin u'mezuzot. We should not write Sefer Torahs, Tfilin or Mezuzot, b'moed, on Chol HaMoed. And these form the three holy writings that are usually called Stam, Sfarim, Tfilin, Mezuzot. And we're not supposed to write these on the Moed. We mentioned last time that you have to be a skilled scribe in order to do it, and so this is a kind of a skilled work. It's a malacha, a maase uman, that shouldn't be done on Chol HaMoed. Ve'ein magiin otachat. Not only that, can you not write them, but you cannot review and correct these holy writings on Chol HaMoed. Afilu b'sefer Ezra, even if it was the book of Ezra, which is referring to Ezra HaSofer, the book that Ezra HaSofer learned. Ezra was a scribe, and one of the things that Ezra did is he compiled the most accurate Torah scrolls so that the Masorah was kept intact. And so having a complete and intact Sefer Ezra is very important for the public good, so they can continue to have the proper text of the Torah passed down. But even still, you shouldn't fix it on Chol HaMoed. You should wait till after Chol HaMoed even to fix Sefer Ezra. As Rashi points out, some people have a slightly different girsa. Instead of Sefer Ezra, they have Sefer Azara, the courtyard Sefer, which was a particular Sefer that was kept as the final say on what the proper text of the Masorah was. Now, this could be related to Sefer Ezra, because if I'm not mistaken, Ezra was the one who compared all the different Torah scrolls and compiled the Sefer HaZara. So perhaps they're related. Other Rishonim say that this is a particular Torah scroll that was read by the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur, and so it was in that regard, a special Torah that was reserved for the reading on the Day of Atonement. Okay, Rabbi Yehuda presents a different opinion from our Tanna Kamma. He says, "Kotev adam tefillin u'mezuzot la'atzmo." He says it's true that you should not write stam on Chol HaMoed, but if a person is writing it for himself, then he should be allowed to do it. Now, there are a couple things to point out here. First of all, it's implying that he's writing it for his own personal use, so there's no money that's changing hands. And it seems to also be implying that he needs to write it on Chol HaMoed. It's Litzorach HaMoed. So some Rishonim argue that this is a clear source that a person is supposed to wear tefillin on Chol HaMoed, because the whole reason Rabbi Yehuda allows a person to write tefillin on Chol HaMoed is so that he can use them. Others argue that he's writing on a Chol HaMoed not for the sake of Chol HaMoed, but because the only way he'll have tefillin after Chol HaMoed is if he writes them now, so that it's not necessarily dispositive, or it's not exactly a proof that you have to wear tefillin on Yom Tov, just that he needs to write them now in order to have them afterwards. The other thing that's interesting to note is that it doesn't mention Sefer Torah here, it only mentions tefillin and mezuzot, which seems to indicate that Rabbi Yehuda is only lenient for tefillin and mezuzot, but not necessarily for Sefer Torah. Not 100% clear why, but I might argue that it's because one cannot finish a Sefer Torah on Chol HaMoed. It's too long. You could write, a scribe could do tefillin and mezuzot during the moed and finish on Chol HaMoed itself, but you couldn't write a whole Torah on Chol HaMoed. Rabbi Yehuda continues with another example, even though it wasn't mentioned in the beginning of the Mishnah. We go now to Daf Yutet Amud Aleph, top of the next Daf. He also adds, "V'tave al yirechot chelet l'sitzito." Another thing he can do on Chol HaMoed for himself, Rabbi Yehuda says, is he can weave the chelet, the blue strings, into his tzitzit. But he specifies particularly that you have to be tave al yirecho. You have to put the strings under your leg. In other words, you have to do it by hand. You can't use any special tools or machinery. You have to do a certain kind of a shinui in order to put the tchelet on your tzitzit. You're allowed to do it for yourself, but you can only do it without any equipment. Some of the Tosos, I think, asks, how come you need a shinui related to putting on tchelet, but you don't need a shinui when you're writing tefillin and mezuzot? And the answer is that if you made a shinui with tefillin and mezuzot, you would pasel them. There's not really any way to do a shinui there. Okay, so that is our Mishnah. Our Gemara is going to talk about the two cases of tefillin and mezuzot and tchelet. Tanu Rabbanan, our rabbis taught, Kotev Adam tefillin umezuzot la'atzmo. This is another teaching. This is not Rabbi Yehuda, it's a different braita, but it's similar. And he says, a person may write tefillin and mezuzot for himself, just like Rabbi Yehuda, v'tave al yirecho tchelet letzitzito, and he can weave on his leg or on his thigh the tchelet, the blue string, for his tzitzit. Now, it adds one additional thing that Rabbi Yehuda didn't say, v'la'acherim b'tova, and he may also write tefillin for other people or put tchelet on tzitzit for other people as long as he does it for free. B'tova here means with the goodness of his heart, without any fee. Divrei Rabbi Meir, that's Rabbi Meir. So Rabbi Meir sounds like he is slightly more lenient than the Rabbi Yehuda of our Mishnah, who only allows one to write tefillin and do tchelet for himself. Here Rabbi Meir allows you to do it for others as long as primarily it's only done free. That's the point, is that it has to be free. Now we have another statement of Rabbi Yehuda, which is different than his one in the Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda says, Ma'arim u'mocheret shalo, v'chozer v'chotev la'atzmo. Rabbi Yehuda gives a challenging idea, this idea that's worth discussing at length another time, which is the idea of ha'arama, that you can do something in a slightly deceptive way in order to create a loophole so that you can do something. So Rabbi Yehuda says, here you're permitted to do a ha'arama, to be ma'arim. How do you do it? You are mocheret shalo, you sell your tefillin to your friend, and therefore you make money. So you sell your tefillin for $500 to your friend, and now you don't have tefillin. So now, according to the law, chozer v'chotev la'atzmo, he can go write his own pair of tefillin for himself, because that's what Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah said he could do. You're allowed to write it for yourself. But here he adds in that even b'derech harama, even in a deceitful way, where you did have your own tefillin, you just sold them, now you need a new pair of tefillin, you can still continue to write a new one. And according to the Rishonim, you could do this. He could do this more than one time. He could do it multiple times if he wanted to. So Rabbi Yehuda seems to be a little more lenient than Rabbi Meir because he allows you to make a profit even in a deceitful way. On the other hand, Rabbi Yehuda here does not mention, as Tosfos points out, whether or not it's possible to write for other people or not for free. Perhaps he would hold in a more stringent way than Rabbi Meir that you may not simply write a pair of tefillin for someone else even if you did it for free. And the third opinion is Rabbi Yossi Omer, Kotevu Mocher Kedarko Kedei Parnasato. Rabbi Yossi says, and in complete disagreement with our Mishnah, a person may write tefillin and mezuzot, and he may sell them to other people in the regular manner meaning without any deceit or harama, kidei parnasato, in order to sustain himself. Now, in order to sustain himself is not the same category as we saw in our Mishnah, ein ma lo yochal. He has no money at all. He doesn't even have enough money for his next meal. Then, clearly, a person could do many things on Chol HaMoed that they couldn't usually do. This is kidei parnasato, which means he has enough money, or he has a little bit of money, but if he wants to be able to buy something nice for Yontif, or celebrate Yontif a little nice, or if he wants to, you know, not be one step away from poverty, parnasato means that he's allowed to do it for the sake of maintaining himself on Yontif. The only thing that Tosfos points out that he shouldn't do is if he's quite wealthy, if he has plenty of money and it's not really a problem, he can last all the way through Yontif and into next week without any financial distress, then that does not count as kidei parnasato. It has to be something that is an immediate kind of need. Nonetheless, it's clearly the most lenient opinion here. Orile Rav l'Rav Hananel. Rav taught to Rav Hananel. V'amrila Rabbi Bar Bar Chana l'Rav Hananel. Some people say it was not Rav, but Rabbi Bar Bar Chana. He said, halacha, the halacha is, kotevu mocher kedarko kidei parnasato. The halacha is like Rabbi Yossi, that a person is permitted to write tefillin and mezuzot in its normal way, in order to sell them for his need, as long as it's a need of the festival. So basically, Rabbi Yossi goes against the Tanakhama of our Mishnah, and it seems like we paskin the halacha like him. The only thing, of course, is that it has to be kidei parnasato, it has to be for the need of the yontif. And also, it seems like it's still that you're still not able to write a sefer Torah on Chol HaMoed. Okay, the next sugya is v'tavel yirecho tchelet, that he can weave tchelet into his tzitzit, the sky blue thread. Tanu Rabbanan, our rabbis taught, tavel dam al yirecho tchelet letzitzito, a man may weave on his leg, tchelet, for his tzitzit, avalo be'even. Here it adds an additional component. You cannot use a rock. What you'd use a rock for is to hold down the strings and to wind the strings around them. This is Divrei Rabbi Eliezer. These are the words of Rabbi Eliezer. So Rabbi Eliezer is saying the shinui you have to make is that you have to only use your own body. You're not allowed to use an implement in order to put on the tchelet. V'chachamim omrim, the sages say, af be'even, you can use a rock. So they say that this is the shinui is not between biyad or bekli. Instead, there's a different kind of shinui. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Mishmo. Rabbi Yehuda said in his name, be'even, yes, you can use a rock, avalo bepelech, but you may not use a spindle. So a spindle is a kind of a kli. A rock is like an unformed kli. But a spindle is specially designed for you to wrap thread around, and it makes it much easier to do a weaving process. So what the Chachamim are saying, Chachamim Omrim, and the sages say, Bein be'even, Bein be'pelech, that you can use a rock or a spindle. So the sages are the most lenient here. They're saying you can use any kind of implement you want to. However, Rabbi Yehuda says you can use a basic implement like a rock, but you cannot use a refined instrument like a spindle. This is similar to what we saw before, related to cutting one's nails, that there are some you could use scissors or your teeth or other ways to cut nails. So teeth are your own body. Scissors is an implement, but you also might have something that was called a ginustra, which is a specific tool used for cutting nails. So there's a difference between no tool, a basic tool, and a specialized tool. So Behuda allows only the basic tool, not the specialized tool, but the sages allow even the specialized tool. Amar of Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, v'chein Amar Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. All of these sages say, in the name of Shmuel, or in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, halacha, the halacha is, bein be'even, bein be'pelach. Whether you use a rock or a spindle, you may put the tchelet on. In other words, we're disagreeing with Rabbi Yehuda in our Mishnah. We're going to be more lenient. According to the opinion of the Chachamim, you can put tchelet on your tzitzit any way you want to. V'halacha, and the halacha is, kotev kedarko, a person may write in his proper way, u'mocher kidei parnasato, may write, in other words, tefillin and mezuzot, and may sell them in order to sustain himself during the holiday. That takes us down to the next Mishnah in the middle of Daf Yud Tet Amud Aleph. We'll stop there. Have a wonderful day.